If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's 31 minutes now after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kai Biz here on Kaya 959. Of course, it is our Thursday edition of the show, but we decided to shift things up slightly. And as much as we tend to talk about a lot of lifestyle things, the markets have been incredibly busy. And of course, we gave you some leadership lessons on Pivot Point. We also want to make sure that we do keep our entrepreneurs aligned, especially those who are seeking opportunities for funding, looking to boost their businesses for various aspects of growth and scale. Right? That's critical and fundamental to making sure that you tap into the opportunities that you'd like to get into. So what's one good way of understanding the kind of funding that you're looking for in your business is understanding the different funding institutions and forms of funding that exist in the market and how they might speak to your unique business needs. This is just one of the themes that will be taking place at key events where we are looking to ensure that we instill a culture and discipline of entrepreneurs being compliant enough, innovative enough in order to access the funding that they're looking for. One particular individual who knows about this and so much more is Anthony Govender. He's the Group CEO of ASI Financial Services. Such a pleasure to have you with us, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening to you, and good evening to the Kaya community.
Fantastic. Excited to speak to you because I listened to, you know, in doing my research around your business and understanding the work that you do, many entrepreneurs would look at you and they would come running towards you because typically you're in the business of assisting entrepreneurs with funding and financing. But for those who aren't familiar with ASI, let's just help us unpack the kind of role that you play within the ecosystem of bolstering support for SMMEs.
Thank you, Gugu. So the ASI group business is invested in three composite business verticals. And that's financial services, property, and the third is ICT, traditionally what you would refer to as technology or connectivity. And we have partnered with dozens of, I would define them as small to mid-sized enterprises in an ecosystem where we collaborate with each other and support those businesses grow, but very much under the ASI banner, which has gained quite a bit of brand equity and trust capital in the market, having traded for 17 years.
Yes.
You know, for entrepreneurs to trade as long as we have, you know, you've got to be committed.
Yes.
And have a huge amount of emotional and financial investment in your business.
100%. And that's important, right? I'm glad that you talk about the brand equity and the trust, because that's very important when it comes down to things like money. And maybe let's explore this avenue regarding money and funding forms that do exist. I am aware that you will be speaking at a conference tomorrow, one that I'll also be at, Empower Entrepreneurs. So really making sure that we bridge the gap between entrepreneurs as well as funders to understand the kind of options that are available. And to you and I, these might be easy terms that, you know, just roll off our tongue because we understand the technicalities involved, whether it's a loan or grant funding, venture capital, private equity. But maybe let's just start there in terms of the area of speciality that you'd like to highlight for us today, specifically around private equity and perhaps even new innovative solutions that exist too.
Thank you, Gugu. So I think, firstly, a big shout out to Simpiwe and the EmpowerWorks team. They're doing really, really incredible things in the entrepreneurial space. And I think what I'm most excited about tomorrow is, you know, we often talk about problems in society. And often if you talk to a young entrepreneur and if you ask him what is the barriers to entry to get into business, and he will typically tell you it's access to capital, you know, regulatory hurdles, amongst other things. And what Simpiwe and his team have been able to do is get business, large established business in the country together, get young entrepreneurs together, and get these two parties talking to each other.
100%.
And what I'm excited about tomorrow is that there's a multi-billion rand investment that's going into entrepreneurship.
Say that again, because that's a big number.
It's a multi-billion rand investment that's going into entrepreneurship, thanks to the business community in South Africa. And I'm incredibly pleased and humbled to say that the ASI group of companies has pledged 300 million rand through our search fund, which I'll unpack a bit further. You know, two young entrepreneurs, and the idea is to connect entrepreneurs to establish businesses and get them to thrive. So Gugu, you spoke about the innovative way of how we can get funding to entrepreneurs. And we've been talking about a fairly new concept to South Africa, which is entrepreneurship through acquisition, ETAs. Not a very new concept to South Africa. It's been around since the 80s because it was produced by a paper produced by Stanford University. But over the last 7 to 10 years, quite widely implemented in the US and Europe. And we've brought that into South Africa. And the idea is, with this massive wealth transfer,
yes,
that's going to take place from baby boomers,
yes,
to Gen Xers and to millennials. The idea is to broker those transactions with the right people, with the right deal structures, and ultimately keep small business around.
I'm keen to go back to how you've defined it in terms of ETAs, and as you mentioned, acquisitions for equity.
Entrepreneurship through acquisitions.
Help us understand how this actually works, because when one thinks of an acquisition, you think, hold on, this sounds like private equity. You want to buy my business out. Where am I going to be involved as an entrepreneur? I still want control. All of these emotions are exactly what entrepreneurs tend to bring about to the table when it comes to alternative funding models. So how does this differ from some of these other structures, from a commercial directorship and leadership point of view?
Sure. You could be a fly on the wall listening to young entrepreneurs talking to us. Because typically what we have is that, you know, you have got a young entrepreneur that says, I don't have the capital to buy a larger company. So why would you want to introduce me to that company? The idea of the ETA model and the search fund is there are three parties in the process. There's firstly the searcher, being the young entrepreneur who's looking to get into business. The second party is the established business owner who's traded his business for the last 15 or so years. He doesn't have a retirement plan. He's looking for a succession. And these are typically small to medium enterprises where, you know, a family member doesn't want to take over the business.
Yes.
Or an employee doesn't necessarily have the skills and the passion to lead the business, and they need to introduce someone as a business owner who would take over the company. And what you have traditionally in the market is that established business owners would use a business broker and they would sell their business, you know, to another entrepreneur. But there's no transition in terms of the skills, experience,
succession
and the institutional
planning.
Muscle memory of that business.
Yes.
And so this is where the search fund comes in, because we refer to that as the trifecta benefit of investment. You firstly have ASI as an equity partner, as a Siamese equity partner, because we journey with you in the investment. As a second part, you're getting an advisor in the process who's also your coach and can talk you through all of the difficulties you're going to experience as a young entrepreneur. Having gone through the 17-year journey of entrepreneurship, I know exactly what not to do. It's less so about what you need to do. It's about what not to do.
Yep.
And as a third part, you have a business operator and partner. The fact that you have an active partner in the process, you get to work with the young entrepreneur. And the business owner doesn't simply exit the business. You know, we structure a partnership in such a way that the business owner leaves a legacy. Now, what you and I know, Gugu, about businesses, entrepreneurs love their businesses as much they love as much as they love their families, right?
Sometimes more.
Talk to the workaholics in the room, yeah. And so the idea is for them to share that passion, energy with the young entrepreneur, but most importantly, all of the learned experience that they've gained over running their businesses for the last 10 or 20 years, and that isn't lost. And what I have found is business owners are incredibly committed to seeing their businesses succeed long after they've gone.
Mm. And that's the trick, right? It will take us to wellness in just a moment, which I know is also another key area of focus that you have. But let's talk about this trifecta effect that you've just touched on, because it speaks to a boost in the capital that is required, and having more heads at the table to discuss, debate and deliberate on the strategy and growth of the business. Mentorship as well, in terms of having an ally to actually walk with you on this particular journey in terms of growth opportunities that you're looking for. And as you've mentioned, you know, just a journey that you take together that also serves as an advisory board. I'm keen to understand if this has been implemented before, the kind of successes that this model have come from in order to be implemented now, and that you'd like to journey with going forward.
Absolutely. So we started this, in fact, as a proof of concept going back to 2017.
Yeah.
And
Pre-COVID. Even better, because I'm sure the journey post-COVID must have.
And then it did so well over those 3 to 4 years. And we kind of did two very small transactions. I flew down into East London, and I was cautioned that, you know, very little happens in Durban, very little happens in Cape Town, in Port Elizabeth, nothing happens. And in East London, you're never going to get a decision, not for the next 40 years.
Oh, man.
So I fly in from Johannesburg. I meet with two business owners. We strike deals in a period of 3 weeks. It was the only two businesses in our sector sold in the last 30 years. And we brokered those transactions very successfully. An 85-year-old business owner, a gentleman by the name of Alan Brightman. He's in his 80s now. He does more bowling rather than broking. A wonderful man. And his neighbor, who is Gary Bryslin, who's my partner in East London, took over that business. And we were instrumental in seeing succession planning. Incidentally, fast forward 8 years later, we're now in the next layer of succession where Gary will hand over to a youngster having gotten into his 60s. And so the idea for us is for businesses to continue to sustain themselves, addressing this major problem of unemployment we have in the country, keeping jobs in our sector, whilst ensuring this succession planning, you know, for these smaller businesses. Because, Gugu, if you look at the smaller business sector, small businesses employ almost 60% of the country.
Oh, for sure.
So if they fail, large businesses are not geared for employment.
Oh, for sure.
And so the idea for us is to keep employment, keep the small business sector growing, keep employment going, and ultimately create new entrepreneurs in the system. A lot of my partners are white Afrikaans. A lot of them are Jewish. A lot of them are black and brown. There's no tribalism in our business. We're ultimately interested in one thing only, and that is the success of Brand South Africa.
Got you. Speaking of that, though, I do want to ask about transformation. As we know, there are key policies in South Africa that drive transformation in terms of the involvement of women in entrepreneurship, youth, those who are disabled, those who fall under the BEE codes in South Africa. What's your role and function there? What shifts, and does that play a role within ETA?
Absolutely does. Let me start off by saying, I mentioned earlier that we're not tribalistic in our leadership style, but the reality is the bulk of entrepreneurs in the country come from particular racial groups. We have a lot of young black entrepreneurs, a lot of young brown entrepreneurs. Equally so, we have a lot of young white entrepreneurs from the Northern Cape that seem to be approaching us, and we are there for all of them.
What's happening over there? Solar?
I don't know, maybe it's the cattle farming. But the idea for us is to really support entrepreneurs from all walks of life. And being a township kid myself, you know, often people see me in the nice suit and in the nice car. And, you know, it's about understanding where we come from and going back into the very communities we come from and investing there. So we're very passionate about that. We are a majority black-owned company. Kanki Matabane, who's the CEO of Black Business, is on my board. We're very passionate about transformation. But more so, we are passionate about investing in young women entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs. It's why I'm so excited to see so many of them at tomorrow's EmpowerWorks entrepreneur event.
Anthony, this
a
is
a lot
where
of
you,
money on the table.
Yeah, this is where you're getting me excited, and perhaps it's also a bit of a soft spot for me, because when we look at the unemployment figures, it's women like myself who are at the periphery of economic participation. Black, female, under 35. And that gives you some perspective that, you know, for women as well to be in the room and to even do shows like this really puts us in, you know, this is really a fortunate opportunity and role that I'm actually sitting in. And I want us to talk about female entrepreneurship, especially those in pursuit of funding. I've often heard with various institutions, compliance, compliance, compliance. That's number one right across the board, regardless of your gender, your race, or even, you know, years of being in business. That's the number one tip to ensure that you do get funding. But beyond that, for female entrepreneurs, there's certain aspects of their business in terms of a lack of partnership, camaraderie, and at times maybe even then working with male counterparts who then perhaps might not reach the balance and the impact that we're trying to strive in supporting specifically women-owned businesses.
Right.
Talk to us about that, because we never know who's listening. There might be an entrepreneur who says, well, I'm keen, I'm ready, but they just need to make sure that they get the finer detail correct.
Yeah, that's a very astute question. Let me say that there are a number of mistakes you can make in business. Let me tell some of the young entrepreneurs what not to do.
Yes.
Yeah, because I suppose this is all too valuable.
And you've been through this.
I've been through this.
Yeah.
You know, the textbooks will tell you what to do. They often don't tell you what not to do. One of the big mistakes that young entrepreneurs make is they build a product or service that really is good for them and not good for their customers. So if you're getting into entrepreneurship, find a product or service that works for your customer.
Yes.
A second cue for you, you can be the best engineer, you can be the best techie around, you could be the most clued up domain specialist in your field when it comes to IT. Sales equals sustainability. You've got to be able to sell your product and service. And you can't do that without having passion for your market.
Yes.
And you often find that the most successful entrepreneurs have got the gift of the gab, and they have the ability to sell their product and service so passionately, even at a higher price, because it's not just about price, it's about value, and ultimately people buy people. And the third mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make is that they underestimate the power of influence. And it's your ability to influence how people feel about you and your brand, because entrepreneurs are so misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I put myself in that category.
Yeah.
Right. Starting up, I was so misunderstood because I loved what I did so much, and I still love doing it, and I wanted to impact society and community. So you got to be prepared to be misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
There are three F's that I leave my mentees with, and I want to share this with your listeners. The first F that is absolutely critical, and it's not the double barrel that you're thinking about, it's focus.
Yeah.
Right. Entrepreneurs have got this gift of ADD, and they want to spread their wings and do a multiple of things, you know, at any given one time. Focus on one thing.
Mm.
You know, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett were sitting in the same room. Both of them were asked the same question. If you had to attribute your success to one word, what would it be? They both responded with the same word, focus, without being prompted.
Got you.
The second one is your feelings and your faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's your ability, firstly, to discipline your focus and discipline your feelings and faith that gets you to be a success. Because the entrepreneurial journey is an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, for sure.
You will have, in fact, you get up in the morning and you feel on top of the world. And by 11 a.m. you want to give up. And by 3 p.m. you feel like you want to strangle your colleague next to you. And by 5 p.m. you got to go home and soak it all up and get up the next morning and go again.
Yeah.
It is an emotional roller coaster. Your ability to discipline your emotions, stay committed, stay consistent is absolutely critical. So for your female listeners in particular, right, it's about disciplining your feelings and your faith. And the third one is discipline your finances.
Yes.
Don't spend your money before you earn it. It is a major problem amongst black and brown entrepreneurs. I spend a lot of time encouraging them not to buy the BMW, the Ferrari,
but
great brands.
But I want people to know that I'm the boss, Anthony.
And we are constantly looking for the validation and acceptance of the world. And very seldomly are we concerning ourselves, as you pointed out, the well-being, our financial well-being. And that's equally important. And it's not about being at a day spa or going to Mauritius and, showing people on social media, this is where I am.
Yes.
It's about saying, what do I need to do to build legacy for me and my family? So those are the three F's I'd like to leave you with. Focus, disciplining your focus, disciplining your feelings and your faith, and very importantly, disciplining your finances.
100%. You've touched on so many valid points that I think are truly tips that all entrepreneurs do need to learn, especially regardless of which part of their journey in terms of their growth that they might be on. Anthony, as we mentioned, there's an opportunity and, of course, billions of money that will be invested and injected into two particular businesses that you alluded to earlier on, but we never know who's listening. Someone might want to partner, an entrepreneur might want to reach out, might even just want some kind of guidance to say, hold on, where do I start? Where do we find you, and how do we get a hold of you?
Well, I'm pleased to say that we have some tickets available, and I've got 5 spare tickets available for tomorrow. So anyone that can write into the show will get those tickets to them. They can mention my name at the Empire Works event tomorrow. So for the Kai listeners in particular, you're going to get 5 tickets available to you. And then secondly, and more importantly, we're giving away a number of things tomorrow. I'm going to keep a little bit of the suspense.
Yeah, keep the suspense.
Keep the suspense
before you
tomorrow.
Get us in trouble with our sales team.
I'd love for you to connect. I'd love for you to connect
your socials
with,
and website.
On our socials, on our website, there is an info at ASI. Please do connect with the EmpowerWorks team. They're doing some amazing things for the young entrepreneurs. And of course, you know, I'm quite prevalent on LinkedIn. It's the only social media that I have.
Gotcha.
And so you're welcome to write into us, and we'll respond to you.
Perfect. That's ASI Financial Services Group CEO joining us on the show tonight, Anthony Governor, giving us some insight into key lessons that entrepreneurs need to be mindful of, especially when it comes to growth within their business, disciplining finance, feelings, focus, and of course, faith to make sure that you find a sustainable level of growth. Thank you so much for joining us, Anthony.
Thank you, Gugu.
Awesome.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.